revival. We sang that song, Revive Us Again. What does that mean to you? How does that impact your life? I trust it's not a thought of, oh no, just more services. I trust it is a desire to rekindle the spirit within you, your love for Christ, your love for his written word that he has given to us and provided for us in a special way in our own language we are blessed with, our heart language that will ignite us and cause us to be more in tune with him, as he tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 60, be ye holy, for I am holy. And our desire to grow closer to him. There's a lot in this world that does sidetrack us from that, much that attracts our attention through our eyes, through our ears, that gets us thinking and going in many, many different directions. We have devices that we carry with us that hold lots of information that are just you can speak to it and it can tell you things, or you can search for things, and the mind just gets overloaded at times, does it not? Sometimes it's time that we just need to refocus and re-examine ourselves in what is really important in the life we do have on this earth. What is essential for us? As believers, there are believers here this morning. As a believer, you're faithfully attending church. You've been here. You've been a faithful member of this church, Grace Bible Church, for many years. But we have today before us. How can this day, how can today we be closer to Christ? Yes, that is a possibility. We can draw closer to Christ day by day in our spiritual walk. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're not a believer. Or maybe you've been deceived to think you're a believer, but you really have never really believed in the biblical Jesus Christ. Oh, what a day this would be for you to find new life in Christ, to be changed from being dead to alive. What a special time that would be. That is the prayers, I believe, that have gone up already for revival in the hearts of the pastors and what is going on here and why these meetings are together. With that encouragement, I would encourage you to be here tonight and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday night. And I trust you would have that thought in mind just because I'm saying it. It's not because we are here. We bring nothing except the truth of God's word. And that is everything. That is what will change a life. And for you to understand that and focus on that, to be revived, that it's Jesus Christ alone. Oh, there is comfort. There is simplicity in it, but there's profoundness in it. The Lord Jesus Christ. May our focus be on him this morning as we look into Romans chapter number 13. The first part of Romans 13 deals with our responsibility to higher powers and those that God has ordained and put in charge at this particular time all over the world for his purpose, for his glory, for his sovereignty, as he is in charge of all things. And understand that fact, come to grips with that fact. It's not time to get angry with leadership. Quite frankly, we need to pray for leadership, is what the scriptures tell us to do. And we need to be faithful on our responsibilities and what we need to carry out. But understanding that God is in charge. And for his glory, we need to be faithful in following and presenting that truth. But verse 8, our responsibilities towards our neighbors. Our responsibilities towards our neighbors. Specifically focusing in on verses 11 through the end of the chapter. For this morning, this is a two-part message, so you do have to come back tonight. You're required. You'll sign a piece of paper as you leave that you will return tonight. No, I'm just teasing you there. But tonight, we'll deal more with this particular passage. But right here this morning, let's start with verse 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Some commandments that Jesus emphasizes here. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
And then this is said, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. And here's our emphasis this morning. Let us, believers, therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Father in heaven, we are grateful we can come before your throne of grace this morning through your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We can come boldly and confidently before your throne this morning, and we are thankful for the word of God before us that we can obtain mercies and find grace to help in our time of need. And Lord, thank you for supplying everything that we need for life everlasting, for the provisions that we need on this earth until you come or till we pass. Lord, I pray that you'll use your word through the power of the word of God we do claim this morning, through the conviction, the reproof of the Holy Spirit this morning. I pray that you will do a work in each individual heart. We all come with burdens, difficulties, trials, struggles, because we live in this fallen world. But we're coming to you this morning, Father, to revive our spirits, revive our souls, that we might draw closer to you, not only today, but as we continue to walk with you day by day, not just during this time of meetings, but as we continue on day after day after day, may we be faithful to recognize that you are the Almighty God. Lord, this morning, save the lost soul that might be here in this building. Encourage the believer with truth. Convict us of the sin in our life, that it would reprove us and convict us of the things that we need to cast off and what we need to put on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you look into this passage, especially verse number 11, it says, "In that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake." What is the time? That word time in the Greek, it means not a chronological time, but an age of period events. It's not a chronological thing. But notice the time. And now it is high time. And notice what it says there, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. To awake out of sleep. What is that? What is that sleep? This is an apathy, a unresponsiveness to God, to truth, and that is easy to do, is it not? You know, that's the first step in really seeing if we need revival is to examine ourselves, and that's what we really have to do. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, part of what you participate when you deal with the Lord's Supper, which I heard in the announcements is coming. That verse in 1 Corinthians 11, 28 says, "But let a man examine himself." Isn't that a fun thing to do? No, preacher. It's more fun to examine somebody else, right? Yeah, that's what we do, because we are good at examining other people. I mean, I can tell you everything that's wrong with this person, that person, and that person. And I can tell you, that is my spiritual gift. Some people do think that, though. They think their spiritual gift is finding out what everybody else's problem is, right? But I don't think I saw that mentioned in this verse. It says examine ourselves. But let's be honest, we struggle doing that, don't we? We try to do it in the morning when we look into the mirror. Sometimes we do okay at it, sometimes we don't do okay at it. And we try to make sure we're all looking good for Sunday morning as we put our suits and ties and your dresses on, and we're looking good. Why? Because we're seeing people and we want to impress people, because we want to say, we got everything under control. I mean, the shirt's ironed, the tie is up, and we got it all under control. But little do we know, we don't, do we? Because we have to examine ourselves. Maybe it's been a rough week. It's been a difficult week. Some things have taken place. But is your faith still grounded on truth? Has the truth encouraged you this week? oh, as a Christian, it should be. But this morning, as we think of the scripture, we need to examine ourselves. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are you really saved? Are you really a believer? Is this an important thing to do? Yes, it is. Why do you believe what you believe? What brings you to church? Are you sure? Do you know? And that's not a bad thing to do. Examine. Can you explain why you are saved? What are you believing? Have you repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, examine yourself before it's too late. Oh, Satan does all he can, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Satan's doing everything he can to blind the eyes of those who don't believe, that they will not see and hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. We as Christians, that is our responsibility as we get revived, that we are ready to share that truth, not only speaking it, but living it. That's why it tells us here. That's why in this particular passage, it's a responsibility to our neighbors. What's that responsibility? You need to be a witness, a testimony, an example. I mean, you were an example this morning. You did what you did, hopefully every Sunday morning, got in your car, got your Bible, and you came to church, right? Your neighbors know, oh, they're going to church today. That's an example. That's a good example. That's being a testimony. That's glorifying God and praising his name. That's a positive thing. Don't look at church as a drudgery. Oh, no, I got to come and sit in the same seat I sit in all the time. Now, listen to me. If this church gave you assigned seats, you would have a fit. But you come and sit in the same seat every week, don't you? You sure do, don't you? Aren't we funny people? We are funny creatures, aren't we? But when you examine yourself, we have struggles because we have struggles acknowledging, you know, I'm wrong. I've done something wrong. I've said something wrong. I thought wrong thoughts. And that's what has to happen if we are going to cast off the works of darkness. It tells us in these verses that we need to awake out of sleep, verse 11. That apathy, that unresponsiveness to the things of God. And when you understand and you awake from that sleep, that's when revival comes. Revive us again. That's when it comes. When we awake, when we realize who we really are, and we realize who really God is. Boy, I think we've struggled with that in the church, in our independent churches. We've struggled with understanding who really is God. Who really am I? We get comfortable with all our rules and what's happening, but we need to examine ourselves according to the Word of God and do it and being willing to change. That's a big key also. But awake from sleep. And now it says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's kind of an interesting statement, a phrase there. What do you mean my salvation is nearer? That idea of you were justified when you trusted Christ, just as if your sins were forgiven, just as if you have never sinned, you are saved, you are going to heaven. But let's face it, we're still struggling with sin, aren't we? We still battle with the flesh and with the spirit. That old man's still there. But that new man is the one we want to feed. But we still struggle with that. But there is a day. There is a day coming. We're getting nearer. One more day, we're getting closer to heaven. We're getting there. When we're going to get that glorified body, when we're going to be glorified, where we can enter the presence of God, and no more will there be a battle with sin. What a day that's going to be. Doesn't sin make you tired? Doesn't it just wear you out? It just wears you out. And it's the battle we face here. Now, if you're sitting here this morning, and you don't think, you don't sense a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. You don't sense the guilt of sin any time when you do things. I really would encourage you to examine yourself to see if you're of the faith. I really would. You must believe. Because if you don't have that sense of guilt or that battle between the flesh and the spirit, there's something going on that's not right. And you need to understand, you need to be raised from the dead, basically, in walking around dead and be made alive and quickened through our Lord Jesus Christ. Another verse I want to bring your attention to. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. 1 Corinthians 15:34. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. That idea to awake to righteousness would be the question is, what is righteousness? What is your definition of righteousness? Righteousness is a conforming my heart and life to the divine law, or in other words, to God's word. Conform. There's a good word. What are you conforming to? Now, you can't tell me this morning you're not conforming to anything, because you are conforming to something. You're either conforming, which we'll lay out specifically tomorrow night, you're either conforming to God's word or man's word. So basically, God or the flesh, the spirit or the flesh, that battle that we have. Those are your two foundations. It's either God's word or man's word. That's what you are conforming to. What are you conforming your life to? This morning you've made the decision and choice, and you have come to church to conform your life in learning more about God, and I trust you want to find out more about God. You desire to draw closer to Him in what His Word says, and you desire to conform. Righteousness is conforming my heart and life to God's divine law. That verse found in 1 Corinthians 15:34 is the chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul defends the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that resurrection, not specifically that resurrection of Christ, because they would not have been saved if they did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's more the resurrection of human beings, because the Greeks did not believe in that. The resurrection of human beings in a bodily form. They believed more in the spirits than a bodily matter in resurrection. And so he was defending that, yes, you as a human being are going to be resurrected from the dead. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you'll be resurrected in him. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, it is the second death, the second resurrection, and you do not want to be part of the second resurrection. Because you'll be resurrected from the dead to stand before the great white throne where you'll be cast in to the lake of fire. Because you never repented and believed in Jesus Christ. How important to understand that. But this idea, the resurrection of Christ together with this atoning work is the cornerstone of all Christian doctrine. It is the evidence that sin has been effectually put away. Aren't you thankful there's one that has put away sin? And that is where our hope is, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has defeated sin and death. What is man's enemy? Man's enemy is death. How do I know that? Because we do all we can to try to keep living as long as we can, don't we? You're taking more pills than you know how to take. And you're trying, why? Because you're trying to live a little longer. You want to feel a little bit better, right? But what about everlasting life? What have you done for everlasting life? The verse in 2 Timothy 1:10, our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus abolished death. Oh, as we think about our salvation drawing near in one day. Because verse 12 says, the night is far spent. This time of Satan's dominion, this time of the depravity of man and the wickedness of man will come to an end. And then it says here, the day is at hand. What's that? That's Jesus. When he's going to sit on that throne, when he comes back, that day is coming. Are you looking for that day? With that thought in mind, it should cause you to do something. Number one, it should cause you, if you're not saved, to get ready. And how do you get ready? You put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection on the cross for you to pay for all of your sins. It's quite a deal. The hardest thing is what we have to do is recognize our sinfulness, admitting we're wrong, and he has done everything, and he has also conquered sin, but he is coming back. You see that there in verse 12, then you see the colon, and then it tells us this. What do we need to do because this night is spent? We're supposed to wake up out of our apathy, out of our unresponsiveness to God and not listening to his word, not reading his word, not praying, not following what his word says. And there's things that hinder us. What hinders us? After that colon, it says, let us, believers, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. We need to cast off the works of darkness. This morning, we want to identify, how do we identify the works of darkness? How do we identify the works of darkness? See, in order for you to be interested in identifying the works of darkness, you must understand that you have a problem with the works of darkness. That's where examining ourselves is so vital and so key to that. So let me give you some points this morning on how we can identify the works of darkness in our life. How do I identify these things? Number one, we acknowledge by the knowledge of the Word, by the knowledge of the Word of God. How do you identify whether something is right and wrong? Google it. No, that's not it. That's not what you do. You don't Google it. No, you got to examine. You got to go to a source that is true. It's like obedience. When you obey somebody, you must listen for the instructions, right? But then you must trust the instructor. You'll never obey anybody until you hear the instructions and you trust the instructor. If you do, then you will act upon it. If you don't, you won't. You will be disobedient. If we have the true source of truth right before our hands, and we say we trust in God for our eternal destination, why do we struggle obeying Him? Does that make logical sense? Why do we fight it? Acknowledge the flesh within you, the heart of man. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We struggle doing right. You say, I don't have anything to worry about. But we have to identify this, and by the knowledge of the Word of God, well, you think about the Ten Commandments. You think about what Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says. You know what? You're not far from Romans chapter 3. Why don't you just turn there? You're in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans 3 and verse 20, it says this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. What's that saying? If you are depending on your good works, on your attendance for coming to church this morning, because you have come to church, that is going to make you in better stance with God because you're at church this morning, you're deceived. There's nothing that you do that is going to put you in a better relationship with God. It's only what he did, what Jesus did, that is going to repair that image of God that was damaged and marred because of sin. He did this. But notice how we identify sin, verse 20. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. For by the law, what is the law? Well, do you know the law? Do you know those commandments found in Exodus chapter 20? What are those commandments? Commandments 1 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Commandment 2 says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Putting things before God. The whole first part of the commandments, commandment 3, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Commandment 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Commandment 5 says, honor thy father and thy mother. Commandment 6 says, thou shalt not kill. Commandment 7 says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Commandment 8, thou shalt not steal. Commandment 9 says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Commandment 10 says, thou shalt not covet. Basically, Jesus summarizes it, love God, love others. And when you and I learn to identify the works of darkness and cast off the works of darkness, it is demonstrating, number one, our love for God. And number two, our love for our neighbors, that they might see Christ in us and how Christ provides for us and how we have faith in Christ. This is a demonstration of loving thy neighbor and loving God when we understand that how can we identify the works of darkness? How are we going to cast off them? We have to identify them, number one, by the knowledge of the Word. And the Word of God tells us the knowledge of His commandments. In fact, it's even listed there in Romans chapter 13. There's 5 listed there in verse number 9 that are listed, talking about the loving of others. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Oh, we live in a covetous nation. So, and the Bible says covetous, which is idolatry. That verse is in Matthew chapter 22, 37, 38, and 39, talking about loving God and loving others. The verse in Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick." It means it's alive. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I just marvel at that statement. A discerner of your thoughts and intents of your heart. How does God know? Because God is your creator. He is your maker. He knows. He breathed into you and I the breath of life. He breathed out the word of God in loving you, loving me, and giving it to us that we would have something to follow and draw closer to him by following what the word of God says in the truth and then obeying it and following it. And you will be blessed. But we struggle, don't we? That's why we need to cast off these works of darkness. But by the knowledge of the word, it is revealed to us. How else can we identify the works of darkness? Number two, by being revealed by the light. Don't you love light? How is darkness revealed? By the light. I understood that this morning already. Walking through, right through, on the other side of that door, it was dark. And I didn't know that there was a chair there. I will notify you, there is a chair there, at least there was this morning, because I ran into it. I didn't turn my phone light on. I didn't use all the what I had available to. Wham! I hit it, and I woke up real quick at 6 o'clock, and we found out things were happening. But have you ever done that? Husbands, have you ever gone home, or and your wife has done a little rearrangement in the rooms or living room, whatever room it might be, and sometime during the night, you happen to get up and have to go to a special room in your home. And on your way, wham, you ran into something, right? Where did she do that for, right? Oh, whatever it might be. But I remember my mother when I was young. She said this, "Son, you need more light to read by." How many of you wished you would listen to your mother when you were young because now you need more light to read by? Come on, admit it. How many of you have a special light that comes over where you read and then you push that button on because you need it, right? Yeah, some of you need to admit some things here this morning, but we need that light. I was using it this morning, guilty, right here, needed light to see, to read, and to read by. Oh, how we need to admit these things and understand. But three things the scripture tells us. God is light. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, we'll go to verse number 5. But in 1 John chapter 1, talks about the light, talks about relationships here. I think are very important. But in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that," underline it, "God is light. And in him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin." Oh, what peace, what joy. That verse number 7 talks about if we walk in the light. I believe this deals with relationships. And as we walk in the light and we have fellowship with God, because that is our utmost important relationship, number one is our relationship with God. That is your most important relationship to have, is your relationship with God. How is your relationship with God this morning? Are you right with God? Are you walking in the light? Do you desire the light? Well, our relationship with him. So I believe that when we will fellowship with one another, if we are right with God, then I believe our relationships with others will be right also. We can fellowship with one another because our relationship is right with God. If our relationship is right with God, we will be in tune with God. We will understand how to respond to people, even though they speak harshly with us or bitterly with us or whatever the response. Our response will be proper And right because our relationship with God is right. I didn't say you get everything you want. You didn't get the results that you wanted. I said, is your relationship right with God? Because ultimately, everything comes from God. And he will be faithful to provide and take care of us, no matter what others do to us. Is that what you believe? Is that what your sovereign God has taught you through his word? But preacher, you don't know what they did to me. I don't. But as you look at the example in 1 Peter chapter number 1 or 2, it's verses 18 through 23. I believe it's chapter number 1. But it talks about your relationship to your bosses. And your relationship. Good boss, bad boss. How do you respond? It's easy to respond to a good boss, easy, because he treats you right. But a bad boss gives the example there. You do a bad job, you get reprimanded for it. You know, that's easy for us to understand. But here's the kicker. You do a good job, follow the exact directions, and then you get buffeted for it, reprimanded for it. We don't like that, do we? Our flesh says, I want to get back, right? Come on, admit to yourself, that's what you do. But see, then the great example is given to us in verse 23, where it says, Jesus was reviled, yet he reviled not. He didn't get even. We're not to get even. We give it to the rightful judge. That is God. That's how we respond. That's why I believe when your relationship with God is correct, your relationship with others can be right as far as your half is concerned in that, but it can be right because you will respond and follow what God wants you to do. Oh, some important truths, because notice this, what's it say at the end of that verse? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you of all your sin. Oh, that important word, all. All your, aren't you glad for those two letters, A and L? And then you double up on the L. All, everything that we have done, our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Does that bring you comfort and peace and joy? Does that revive your spirit within you? Does that give you hope for eternity? Oh, I trust that it does. But the light, God is that light. The presence of God should bring us to the consciousness of our sin. That is what the whole point is. When you identify your sins, you identify them through the truth of what the Word of God says, the knowledge of the Word of God. And now as you're walking close to God, and you find out that the word is light also. The word is light also in Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. We don't like that, do we? The reproofs of instructions are the way of life. I need reproved. And can I tell you this morning? So do you. We need reproved, but we fight against that. We don't like that. But when it comes from God, it is good for us. It draws us closer to him. It causes us to rely on him more and more. And that is what revival is all about. Giving more control to God in his sovereignty, in his provision, in how he daily blesses us with abundant mercy. Oh, the mercies of God. The Bible says we wouldn't be here today without the mercies of God. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We would not be able to exist without it. Have you thanked him this morning for his mercy? We are such ungrateful. I am such an ungrateful person. How we need to be more thankful to God. That is where our thanks needs to be directed for. Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. We need light. God is that light. The Word is that light. Jesus said he is the light of the world. John 8:12, you should be familiar with the verse. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Do you follow him? Then you shouldn't be messing around with sin. But shall have the light of life. Turn with me to John 11. John 11. It's okay if you turn in your Bible. It'll be okay. John 11, verse number 9. Good to hear the pages turning. You're seeking, you're looking for truth. You're seeking for truth. That's why you've come this morning. In John 11, verse number 9, it says this. Jesus is giving an example here. In John 11, verse number 9, Jesus answered. Chapter 11, John, verse 9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" He's asking this question. "If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world." Then verse 10 says, "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Now, practically, physically, living, and this verse is easily demonstrated. I demonstrated this morning. I was walking in darkness, boom, tripped over something. But when in the daytime, when the light's out and the sun's up, you can see where items are. You can see what's happening, see what's going on. But spiritually, the application is so true. If you are not understanding that God is light, if you don't understand the Word of God is your guide that He gives you, it's a lamp unto your feet, it's a light unto your path, if you don't understand, that's where you need to be to deal with all of life's issues. Do you understand that? The Word of God can deal with all of life's issues. How do we know this? Our Creator has given it to us so we can live in this world and understand how to live godly in this world. That's what the Word of God is for. And Jesus is that light that is offered to us such a great, great eternal life. We were in a location at a campground several years ago. And in that campground, I had my phone with me. I was going to the necessity room from the camper. My wife was there. It was nighttime. And I turned my phone on and started, you know, doing the scrolling in the phone and doing your thing. So I'm looking at the phone, but it's dark. So I got my nose here and I'm looking here. Little did I know that there was a rock right there. And as I was walking and having my nose buried here, bam, I went down like, I was face planted in the grass faster than you know what to do. The phone went flying. Now, it was a good thing that I didn't hit my head on a rock, because my wife would have never known where I even was and even where I was connected to or what was happening. But that is the last time I was going to look at a phone at nighttime. Now, some of you look at it during the daytime, though, don't you? And you're going down through there. But anyways, I wasn't going to do that again. Now, a church we're at, we did their Bible school this year in Massillon, Ohio, close to Canton, Ohio, Akron, Canton. And in this church, they were blessed by God, the grace of God, provided $300,000 to them through some organization that they were even able to build this church. But it doesn't have any windows in it. There's a doors back there, that's it, and the sound booth sits on the ground over there, and then there's doors over here, because we're normally parked on that side where we come in. Well, the lights are located back there. Well, I always come in this door, and I notice when I come in this door and I'm trying to get to those lights to turn them on to see, when you walk into the dark, you cannot see where you're going. So it's a struggle. So there's chairs in the way, and you run into things. But we got devices now. But I did notice when it's time to turn the lights off, and you turn them off, and you head towards the door where that light is, I can see where I'm going. You examine this in your life as you walk through today or maybe tomorrow. Maybe you'll think about it this week. When you walk into darkness, you can't see where you're going. But when you're walking towards the light, you can see where you're going. What is light? God's light. Are you walking towards Him? What's light? The Word is light, the Word of God. Are you in the Word of God? How are we going to cast off the works of darkness? We've got to identify them. How are we going to do it? We've got to draw closer to God. How are we going to do it? We've got to examine the Word. How are we going to do it? We need to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we acknowledge and understand that truth. How else can we do it? Oh, are you in John? Oh, I'm so glad you are. Turn to chapter 16. Turn to chapter 16. In chapter 16 of John, go with me to verse number 8. In verse number 8, it says this. It says this in verse 8. It says, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin." Who is the he Jesus is talking about? It's the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit's come, he's going to reprove the world of sin. The Holy Spirit. How are we going to determine what is right and wrong, identify the works of darkness? The Holy Spirit will help you as a believer. The Holy Spirit will convict you as an unbeliever. This is, you need to repent and trust in Jesus this morning. You need to get rid of your sin. And it can all be, it's all paid by Jesus Christ. A big word, you need to be reconciled, made right. Jesus has already reconciled you. He's already paid the debt. The debt has been paid would you be reconciled to him this morning? Reprove the world of sin, of righteousness. That righteousness, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, has been imputed unto us because God has sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. It says in that verse, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made righteous, not because of our good works. Our good works are filthy rags. We're made righteous because of Jesus Christ and only him. We've been, that righteousness has been placed upon us, imputed upon us. And then by the judgment, there's a judgment coming, folks. In verse 11, of judgment, because of the princes of this world is judged. If you are not right with God, you will be judged and cast into the lake of fire. Would you trust in him today? Dear pastor friend of ours was not saved till later in life, and he says, as he trusted Christ as his Savior, he said he was listening to the same music he always was listening to. But then as he listened to it, the Holy Spirit convicted him. He says, I shouldn't be listening to this stuff anymore. So he reached over and turned it off. And he's a faithful minister and pastor there in the Ashland, Ohio county and area there. How else can we identify the works of darkness? Not only by the word of God and being close to the light and God and the word and Jesus is the light. Not only by the Holy Spirit, but by your conscience. Romans 2:15 says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the means while accusing or else excusing one another. Then there's verse in Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. What does this mean? There is a conscience in man, that moral law that God has placed there, which unless seared, passes sentence on what is in man or done by him and either excuses or accuses. Are you going to let the word of God accuse you and find you guilty this morning? Or are you going to excuse yourself? Oh, I'm okay. I'm all right. I don't need to do anything. Let me read you this verse in 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Did you hear that? If we say that we have no sin, if you say you don't have a battle with this, you deceive yourself and you really don't know the truth. That this war is out there and Satan is out there to deceive us. I'll end with this illustration. This here. It says, several years ago, a preacher from out of state accepted a call in a church in Houston, Texas. Some weeks after he arrived, he had an occasion to ride the bus from his home to the downtown area. When he sat down, he discovered that the driver had accidentally given him a quarter too much change. As he considered what to do, he thought to himself, you better give the quarter back. It would be wrong to keep it. Then he thought, forget it. It's only a quarter. Why would you worry about a little amount? Anyways, the bus company gets too much fare. They'll never miss it. Accept it as a gift from God. Keep quiet. When his stop came, he paused momentarily at the door. Then he handed the quarter to the driver and said, here, you gave me too much change. The driver, with a smile, replied, aren't you the new preacher in town? Yes, he replied. Well, I've been thinking a lot lately about going somewhere to worship. I just wanted to see what you would do if I gave you too much change. I'll see you in church on Sunday. When the preacher stepped off the bus, he literally grabbed the nearest light pole, held on, and said, oh God, I almost sold your son for a quarter. Our lives are the only Bible some people will ever see. This is a really scary example of how much people watch us as Christians and will put us to the test. Always be on guard and remember, you carry the name of Christ on your shoulders when you call yourself a Christian. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Are we willing to admit, to identify the works of darkness? We must identify if we're going to cast them off. Tonight we'll discuss how to cast off the works of darkness. I'd encourage you to be here. Let's pray. As you're praying there, seeking God and applying what you've heard, I'm going to sing you this song. My wife's going to play on the piano. simply says, I cannot hide from God. I cannot hide from God, however I may try. Though mountains cover me, I'll not escape His eye. I've wandered far and near, and yet His voice I hear. I know that I can never hide from God. I cannot hide from Thee, dear Lord. To escape Thee, how often I've tried. No rest shall I know while here below, till in Christ my soul shall hide. How often in the past I've gone my wicked way, I knew I'd come at last to face another day. When for my wasted years I'd pay in grief and tears, I knew that I could never hide from God. I cannot hide from Thee, dear Lord. To escape Thee, how often I've tried. No rest shall I know while here below, till in Christ my soul shares.